Well, good morning to all of you. And I don't mean to interrupt your visit, but we're glad to be here today. I stand before you with bittersweet feelings. My plan was to be in Texas today and with my mother on Mother's Day, and that did not work out. So we are here with you folks today celebrating this great day. And we do honor our mothers on this special day. And not only our mothers, but our grandmothers. And I will be sharing a message with you. Mothers, be thou a godly parent. And so this message can be taken from both sides. It can apply to fathers as well as mothers, and parents, grandparents, grandma and grandpa are all involved in the study that we're going to share with you here together this morning. But I have a story to tell. It's short. And it has nothing whatsoever to do with the message. It's just kind of a stupid story. But this mother gets on a bus with her baby. And the bus driver looks at the baby and he says out loud, "That's the ugliest baby I've ever seen." And she just broke down in tears. And she started towards the rear of the bus. And she sat down just crying her eyes out. And she says to the man next to her, "That driver just insulted me." And the man said, "You go right up there and tell him off, and just go ahead. I'll hold your monkey for you." Isn't that terrible? That's a terrible joke. Oh, boy, I thought, wow, what a deal. And that's quite a deal. the text of Scripture that we have for us to look at today as a reference for the message that I want to share with you on mothers, be thou a godly parent, is Matthew 18. And it may seem to you an odd text for the subject that we're going to look at, but it's really not. It's really very applicable to our message of the hour. So look with me in your Bibles, if you will, Matthew chapter 18, and I will be reading verses 1 through 6. Of that text, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. Listen to this account. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And so he called a child to himself, and he set him, I figure he set him on his lap. He set him before them, and he said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." Now listen to this verse very carefully. "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone is hung around his neck, that he be drowned in the depth of the sea." You know, that verse alone would make a big difference in America.
little children. How important are the children? How important are the mothers? Jesus places them up here. The greatest of these are the children. Would you pray with me as we think about what a tremendous honor it is to be in the presence of our mothers and our grandmothers and our grandpas and all of our parents today. And as we think about what it means to be a godly parent in just a few brief moments in this message, but let's pray to start. Oh Lord, I truly thank you for my mother, and I miss her so. I pray that you will minister to her, Lord, in a special way. She has been so troubled in her soul for the last several years and has fought a battle. Lord, it's not her, but it's the evil about her that just makes things so difficult for her and for those who love her. I pray that you will heal her mind and her body, and Lord, that you will make her days good for the rest of the days of her stay here on this earth. I know she loves you, Lord, and I know she cares for you, Lord, even in this state of mind that is confused. And I just pray your special blessing upon her today. And for all the other mothers across this land, I thank you for those that have been such a blessing to each one of us, can amount so much to us, that have provided a safe home. And for the message today, I pray your guidance and your direction and your blessing. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The following is a true story written by an educational psychologist and her experience on an airplane. It seems that on a flight to Florida, she was preparing her notes for the upcoming parent education seminar that she was being asked to speak at, and as an educational psychologist. And she was going to speak about parenting and being a mother and having children. And the elderly woman sitting next to her in the plane explained that she was returning to Miami after having spent 2 weeks visiting her 6 children, her 18 grandchildren, and her 10 great-grandchildren in Boston. Then she inquired what I did for a living. I told her, fully expecting her to question me for free professional advice. Instead, she sat back, picked up a magazine, and said, "If there's anything you want to know, just ask me." To all the mothers and grandmothers, that story relates.
Experience is a wonderful teacher. Now, Jesus, in this text, talks about precious cargo, blessed treasure. Psalms 127, verse 3 and 5 says, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." I would say blessed is the woman whose quiver is full of them also applies. How many kids, grandkids, great-great-grandkids do you have? Parenting is a tremendous honor, a tremendous privilege, a tremendous responsibility and joy. America desperately needs safe homes. Desperately needs the Christian family unit. Did you know the time invested in the home is crucial? Howard Hendricks notes, and I quote him, "Your home is the number one influence in life, in the life of the child. The average church has a child 1% of his time. The home has him 83% of the time. And the school has him the remaining 16%. This does not minimize the need for churches and schools, but it establishes the fact your home is 83% of your child's world, and you have only one time around to make it of a maximum benefit. Of the time spent in the home, how much of it is recreational? How much of it is TV watching? Or computer playing on computer games, or the iPad, or the cell phone? How much is meals, and how much is sleep, and how much of it is Bible instruction and training?" We would like to challenge you today as parents and grandparents and great grandparents in three directions in regard to this "Be thou a godly parent." Number one, be thou an example. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. The best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds, for to see good put into action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you let me see it done. I can see your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lectures you deliver may be very fine and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I may not understand you and high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. Be thou an example. And who better to give us an example than Jesus Himself? And who better to follow the example of than Jesus? In 1 Peter, the second chapter and verse 21, it says as much. "To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps." A good policy to follow is to ask yourself the question when deciding which way to go and what to do and what to say, just simply say WWJD, which stands for What Would Jesus Do? Jesus said, I am the way, and without Him, there's no going. He said, I am the truth, and without Him, there's no knowing. And He said, I am the life, and without Him, there's no living. So one of the best ways of following the example of Jesus is to read everything you can read about Him, to observe everything you can observe about Him, to learn, and then to just do it. Example of following His example is what we're talking about here. Jesus said in John the 13th chapter and verse 15, He said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. How am I to love, to be kind, to serve, to practice patience, to forgive, and to pray? To do it, we need to check out the name of Jesus and the example of Jesus and to follow Him. And then we need to set a good example. Paul's admonition to young Timothy in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter and verse 12, were as follows. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and in life and love and faith and in purity. How do you do in what you say and what you do? The best translation of the Bible is a translation into life. How are you doing in the kingdom? How are you doing in the faith? Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief, Lord. How are you doing in your holiness? Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness, holiness is what I need. I need the whole of Christ, the whole of life. Phillips Brooks said, a man who lives right and is right has more power in his silence than another has by his words. Francis Bacon had it right when he said, he that gives good advice builds with one hand. He that gives good counsel and example builds with both. But he that gives good admonition and bad example builds with one hand and pulls down with the other. I've always liked this poem, and I share it with you today on Be That Example. It's called The Little Chap, and it goes this way. A careful man I ought to be, a little fellow follows me. I do not dare to go astray for fear he'll go the selfsame way. I cannot once escape his eyes. Whatever he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says he's going to be the little chap that follows me. He thinks that I'm good and fine and believes in every word of mine. Wrong steps by me, he must not see the little fellow who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be the little chap that follows me. Parents, grandparents, mamas, daddies, grandmas, grandpas, be thou an example to your children. Now, second thing is be thou a teacher. I don't know whether you know it or not, but we are living in the TGIF generation. Now, that doesn't mean what you think it means. It means text, Google, Internet, Facebook. We need to seize the moment. Make connections. Reach and teach our kids before it's too late. Be thou a teacher. Teach them the plan of salvation. It's not just the church's job to teach your children the plan of salvation and what Jesus did for them on the cross and how he died for their sins and how he was nailed to that cross and he was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later he rose victory over the grave, and 3 days he won victory over sin, Satan, and death. It's not just the church's job to teach your children that. It's the parents' and the grandparents' job to do it also. Our children are the only earthly possession that we can take with us to heaven. Did you know that? And so the big question is this question. Are all the children in? Think about your family. And think about your kids, your kids, and your grandkids. Are they all in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? The greatest thing I did in my entire ministry at Mountain Grove was to baptize all three of my children. And my grandkids are next in line. I have a picture over my mantle at home, and all my grandchildren are there. And every day when I get up and I look at that picture, I pray for the souls of my grandchildren. Every day. Because I know how important it is that they be taught the scriptures and taught the truth concerning Jesus Christ. England's great and good Queen Victoria was being honored by a great celebration while visiting the city. On the corner of one street, a large stand was built where a great company of children was assembled to sing for her. That night, after all the excitement was over, the mayor received a telegram. Perhaps he thought it was a compliment about the celebration, but the message from the queen was a simple one, straight from the motherly heart. And the queen said, and I quote, "The queen wants to know whether all the children got home safely. That's all I care about." Is that all you care about, Grandma, Grandpa? Is that all you care about, parents? Is that your children get home safely? Is that not the greatest concern that a parent has? Teach them the truth. Raise them in the ways of the Lord. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, this was an important thing for the children of Israel, and the parents made sure that they taught their kids. Listen to these verses of Scripture. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that you and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord and the God of fathers has promised you in the land of milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, our God, is Lord, is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children and to your sons, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk in the way, and when you lie down, when you rise up, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and there shall be on the frontals of your forehead, and on, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates, on the top of your head, to the tip of your toes, the word of the Lord, morning, noon, and night, the word of the Lord. Teach them the principles of Christian living. Whatsoever I've commanded you is what the Scripture says." A Sunday school teacher was reviewing a lesson who led the children of Israel to Egypt. there was an answer, so she pointed to a boy at the back of the room and repeated her question. He said, it wasn't me. We just moved to Tulsa. Sunday school, VBS, and junior church, and youth group, and church camp are all important because they train your children in the ways of the Lord, and that should be true in your home as well. Train a child up in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it. Grandparents, parents, grandma, grandpa, to all your mothers, be thou an example and be thou a teacher. And then the last thing I would say to you is be thou a leader. Oh, we get all fumbled around in this leadership thing, and men are so chauvinistic sometimes in the church that it's unbelievable. And we think that everything has to go through us, and that we're the king, and everybody should bow to us. And we've done that so much that we've exempted mothers from the importance of leadership. And that's unfortunate, because we need both men leaders and we need women leaders in the church today. And we need to do that in our homes, for sure. Dad's not the dictator. He's not to be the tyrant in the home. Mom and dad work together and be in submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ and allow Jesus to be the leader of our lives, and then we, in turn, are better leaders. A good leader is a good follower. Follow the lead of the great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We need to keep that straight. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me. He leads me. He leads me. And I follow. Good leaders lead forth. Abraham Lincoln said, there is just one way to bring up a child in the way he should go, and that is to travel that way yourself. Don't send your kids to church. Take them. Don't tell your kids to pray. Pray with them. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. But he did more than say it. He, and tell it, he became the miracle of incarnation. And that's what we are to do. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, and the glory of the only one of the Father, full of grace and truth. He showed us the Father. He explained God to us. An ounce of practice is worth a pound of preach. Now, I close with this poem. See, I'm done. I told you I'd be done early. This applies to the whole message. I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded to my will. I came again when days were past, and the big clump of clay was hard at last. The form I gave it, it still bore, but I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when yours were gone, and it was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress wore, and I could change him no more. We mold the clay, our example, through our teaching, and through our leading. And that's the message this Mother's Day I have for you. What do you think? Let's stand. As we close this service today, and be mindful of all the needs that we have in our families, we pray that God will grant us wisdom and will grant us direction in our lives, that we will ever strive to allow the Spirit of the Lord to work in us and through us in order to minister to our families and the families around us. Won't we do that as we sing this song of commitment? I would ask for your forgiveness on my monkey joke. I meant it in jest. Oh, wow. That's quite a story, isn't it? Oh, my. Let's just hope it's not true. Prayer requests. Yes. Okay, that's too bad. Yes. Yes. Yes, we do praise the Lord for the presence of Doc. Glad to have you, Doc.
I'd like to say a few words.
Okay.
Lord, we just thank you so much that we can be here. Sometimes, you know, these people and others, situations that just
thank you for that prayer. Anybody else? Prayers? Any other prayer requests? Do keep my mother, Pat Zedlitz, on your prayer list. She was praying for me this morning. Even though she doesn't keep everything straight in her mind, she does seem to keep her praying for her son in mind straight. I'm confident she was praying for me while I was preaching today. And I'm thankful for that, for the godly woman that she's been all the years of her life. You know what's tough? And you all can relate to this because you've had that happen in your life. What's tough is to see a person serve the Lord all their life and be a faithful servant in the kingdom. And then in the last days to just not be the same person. And that's what's happened with my mother. She's reverted to some crazy person that she's really not. And it's been very difficult for us as a family to watch her go through this experience. And it just shows you that the flesh is weak and that we live in a broken world. And the devil is alive and well. And he would have us to be distraught and discouraged and downcast. And I'm here to tell you that my mother's already won the victory. She's just spending the last days of her life. And the Lord's going to deliver her to a new world. One that's free from all of that brokenness. And she will be much better off at some point. And she's 90 years old, and they're having trouble finding a place to take care of her. And pray that that will be found, that they'll find a place and that her days will get better, just a little better even. That would be great. Okay, any other prayer requests? Okay, and we have another prayer to Doc's prayer. Okay, John is going to lead us, and then we'll be dismissed.
Father, we thank you for all the prayers you have answered. We thank you for everyone who's come out this morning. And we thank you for our mothers. And we thank you for the things you do for us that we're not even aware of. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand up as we sing this song.
There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven.